Exactly 1 month ago today, Baghdad fell to U.S. forces and the regime of Saddam Hussein was deposed. It took barely 3.5 weeks to conquer Iraq, but after 1 month, security is lacking in many parts of the country, and basic services such as power and clean water have not been restored. Though Iraq has the world's second-largest oil reserves, there are chronic fuel shortages. The U.S.-led civilian administration has been slow to engage with the public, and many Iraqis rapidly are growing impatient with the lack of a clear civil authority. NPR's Guy Raz reports from Baghdad that many of them also blame the United States for what they see as unfulfilled promises.
From the fertile north to the parched south, Iraqis of all stripes repeated like a mantra. The U.S. military rolled over Iraq in 3 weeks. But after 4 weeks of occupation, where's the improvement?
American, before the war just started, American give him the promise, like freedom, democracy, rebuilding, changing everything, changing the government. Only thing America done is changing the government. We didn't see anything up to now from rebuilding the freedom and the democracy.
Salih Salamun runs a small computer parts shop. His comments reflect an overwhelming majority view. There is the widespread belief here that America made firm promises to Iraqis to improve their lives quickly. Whether that perception reflects real promises made, the perception is now a fundamental reality, and soon enough could become a dangerous one. From working men waiting in long gasoline lines to middle-class women grappling with chronic power outages while preparing dinner, Iraqis are expressing deep impatience with their new rulers. Iraqis like Professor Abdel Jabbar Abid Mustafa, a political scientist.
As a big power, as a big state, they can do many things within 1 month. For example, in petrol sector, in electricity sector, 1 month is enough time to start whatever the Iraqi people need in health sector, in the security of the street, in whatever.
In both private and on-the-record interviews, U.S. civilian and military administrators here acknowledged that they weren't fully prepared for the post-war governance of Iraq. Major General David Petraeus is the commander of U.S. forces in northern Iraq.
The war went faster by weeks, if not months, the most dire predictions. And so I think that that surprised everyone. Beyond that, I do think that we understood that the top level of government was going to be gone. I don't think we quite appreciated as much how totally centrally driven everything was. I mean, I'm familiar with command economies, command this and that, but this was beyond a dictatorship.
For example, take the northern city of Mosul. Most people, whether teachers or doctors or desk clerks, worked for the Iraqi government and were paid by the Iraqi government. This week, after getting an earful from local leaders about how people haven't been paid in weeks, Petraeus paid a visit to the state bank that doles out government salaries.
And then said, well, when will you start paying the salaries? And he said, well, as soon as I get the authority. And, of course, there is no authority, so we gave him the authority.
It's a recurring theme throughout the country. U.S. civilian and military officials are now finding themselves serving, in no specific order, as aldermen or law enforcement officers, even town clerks. It's not uncommon to see an armored vehicle parked outside a home here in Baghdad, 4 or 5 heavily armed U.S. soldiers in tow, called in by a local resident to solve a domestic dispute. Privately, people close to the U.S.-led administration here blame poor planning and an inconsistent, ever-changing policy. Jay Garner, the retired 3-star general tapped for the top civilian post here, has regularly been on the defensive.
Our plan was never a locked-in concrete plan. Our plan was always one to establish a framework inside which the leadership of Iraq could come up with their own plan, and our only constant that is it has to be a form of democracy.
But the mere notion of democracy, say many Iraqis, isn't enough to restore some semblance of normalcy to their lives. Political analyst Abdel Jabbar recalls this recent incident.
Some of young men, they holding a whiskey bottle, 12 noon, and they drinking in the middle of the street. When some people asking them, what are you doing? It is a time, not a time for drinking. It is time for working. They told them, it is democracy. It is my freedom to do whatever I can.
Professor Abdel Jabbar says The Iraqi public isn't yet mature enough to grapple with political plurality. And while democracy is a major component in the restructuring plan, Major General Petraeus acknowledges that it neither feeds people nor powers the utility plants.
We don't want to have a situation a month from now where people are saying the equivalent of, oh, you know, Mussolini didn't allow many personal freedoms, but at least the trains ran on time. Saddam didn't allow us to speak our mind, but at least there was gas at the gas station.
But it won't take a month. It's already started to happen. Among a group of frustrated drivers waiting in a mile-long line for gas, 36-year-old Ahmad Mansour expresses the view of his friends huddled around him.
When Saddam Hussein was in power, we never had to wait for gasoline like we do now.
Perhaps more ominous are the signs that the people aren't just restless, but increasingly hostile toward the occupying forces. Demonstrations led by different political and religious factions take place on a daily basis. U.S. administrators like Jay Garner believe many are well organized by Shiite groups opposed to the American presence here. But whether they're organized or not, one thing is certain, anti-Americanism is growing.
Some people feel the American is enemy.
If, after a few weeks, we see no improvements, no changes, we will surely fight against the Americans.
The key to bringing those improvements, restoring the country's power and water purification plants, could lie in reviving the oil industry. U.S. administrators here say oil is starting to flow, but it's still only a trickle. Refining petroleum and distributing it is still slow going. In fact, despite Iraq's vast oil reserves, U.S. officials will now import gasoline from nearby Kuwait as a short-term solution. They blame the holdup on the looting that damaged the refineries, where everything from wires to light fixtures were stripped. Gun crime and looting is still a problem throughout the country. Even now in Baghdad, while U.S. soldiers guard key oil ministry offices, looters can be seen dragging old chairs and window frames out of other nearby offices. It's contributed to the perception among Iraqis that America was in it only for oil.
Most of the Iraqis are expecting that American comes to control the Iraqi oil.
Professor Abdel Jabbar says that because many of the country's revered institutions like the National Museum were looted, Iraqis now hold American forces responsible.
It is in public international law that occupied troops, they are responsible to secure stability in the occupation area. It is a logic. This is, did not happen up to now.
And he warns that time may be running out. Many Iraqis like to remind foreign visitors of the last time they lived under military occupation, early in the 20th century, and how they waged a bloody war to oust the British army from their land. Guy Raz, NPR News, Baghdad.